Friday, the 22nd of January, Zion Shabbat, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, Detach Adash Ba'acha.
Okay, I'm told that I have to finish absolutely properly today, so let's get on quickly. There's a lot to get through as usual. And the topic is Detach Adash Ba'acha. We start from, it's a little before that, it's Rabbi Yehuda. We know in the Agodah it was Rabbi Yehuda who gave those simonim, and he gave the simonim which we pronounce the Tzach Adash Ba'achav. We'll see in a second whether that's correct or not. The first question is, why does Rabbi Yehuda Hoya Noson? It should have said Rabbi Yehuda Noson Behem Simonim. He gave them and they stuck. Why does it mean he used to give? So the answer is that they gave is that the Gemara in Menachos, Mishnah in Menachos, Perek Yud Aleph, tells us of another simon which Rabbi Yehuda gave in a connection with the Lechem upon him and the Ishtei Alechem. It seems that it was his custom to give simonim in order to remember things, and therefore it didn't say Rabbi Yehuda Nosan, Hoya Nosan. Rabbi Yehuda used to give simonim. There are people who deal in different types of Torah, and he used to make sure that he had simonim for different aspects of the Torah to be able to remember things. It actually, there's a Gemara in Erevin Daf Nun Dalet, that's also in Shabbos Daf Kuf Dalet, which tells us it's a very important thing to make simonim. Asay simonim la Torah. If you want to remember things, it's kedai to make a simon. Because a simon is something which helps you to remember, and we've got a few to try to remember. It's very difficult to remember the whole of the Torah. We don't all have photographic memories, and we tend to forget things. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that if you forget things voluntarily, it's a big avera. Ah, yochel tokfor av mishnah, so it's too much for you. Well, all right, there's a patur. You're an onus, you can't remember everything. But if there are ways whereby you could remember it, possibly nowadays through a computer, or so through other systems whereby you can have everything at your fingertips, it's a mitzvah to do so. And clearly Rabbi Yehuda felt that the simonim were for that purpose. So he found, used to give simonim in order to remember different halachas of the Torah. Now we come to the question, when you make a simon, there's two types of simon. You have to remember to buy something for your wife, or she's going to get very annoyed if you forget to bring it home. So what do? You tie a knot in your hanky, you tie a knot in your tie, you undo your shirt sleeve, or whatever you do, you make some simon that makes things different. And when you look at it, you try to remember, hang on, what was that all about? What was the message? What am I supposed to try and remember? Well, it's often very frustrating because you know you've got to remember something, but you don't know what. Now, there's another type of simon where you simply make a message and you remember what it is. You put somebody's name down on your shirt sleeves. Ooh, I've got to ring so-and-so up. But by putting the name down, that means you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. So the shaila is, these simonim which Rabbi Yehuda gave, do they have any meaning whatsoever? So that is actually a machlokas achronim, believe it or not. According to the Tiferes Yisrael, a simon which has no meaning is useless. And therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda gave simonim, it's got to have a deeper meaning in the simon. So the one in Menachos, he gives a very interesting perush as to why that particular simon there, it's actually Zadad Yahaz, that is the simon which he gave over there. And the Tiferes Yisrael gives an explanation as to what that means. In the case of Detach Adash Ba'achav, of course, that's not the Mishnah, that's in the Haggadah. The Tiferes Yisrael didn't tell us what the simon is all about. But the Tosfos Yom Tov and Pirkei Avos explains that there is a meaning in the simon. He says, you're reading it wrong. We don't read it Detach Adash Ba'achav. It should be read Ditzach Odash Ba'achav. Ditzach means your joy. Odash, he says, is a lotion of disho. That's to thresh up. With an ayin, it's interchangeable with the letter aleph. It's a guttural letter. So he says, ditzach odush, ba'achav, he says, is the same as ivchas acherev, as the pasuk Yecheskel, I think, which calls the sharp point of the sword, and the letters of the achav are interchangeable, like we have in this week's sedra. We have a simlon this week's sedra, whereas in mishpatim it would be a salmo, simlon, salmon, kesev, and keves. Same thing, ivchas and achav are the same words. He says, what's that mean? Our joy will become complete when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will smash up the enemy with the sword. That's what Ditzach Adash Bachav means. According to him, we're not reading it right. We should read it Ditzach Odash Bachav. The Rabbi Yaakov Emdin in his Peish on Nagoda disagrees with the Tosafot Yom Tov because he says, since when have we found a situation where we can be happy when our enemies have been destroyed? He says, you're not allowed to start having great joy when your enemy is destroyed. We should be upset if our enemies are destroyed. Yes, we need them destroyed, but you don't have to be happy about it. That's what he asks. The truth of the matter is kasha. I don't understand this kasha against the Tosafot Yom Tov, because the Gemara in Megillah says in the case of Haman the same question. How could Haman be happy when he stamped his foot into the back of Haman's back? The Gemara answers in Megillah, but Avod Rishon Rina, it's different. In Ochanami, if it's to stamp an enemy, you're not allowed to be happy about it. You're not allowed to be happy at somebody else's discomfiture. But if it's a Rosha, like Haman, then on the contrary, but Avod Rishon Rina. So I just don't understand what Rabbi Yaakov Emdin's cash is against the Tosafot Yom Tov. But he disagrees with him, and he gives a different chat. He says it's also Ditzach, your joy, because Odash is a lashon of Adoshim. Everybody knows that when a person's an oval, you have lentils in the olden days, because they were round. So Odash represented a lentil. The reason why it represents a lentil, apparently, is there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin which talks about this word Odish being meaning silence. It means silent. So he says that the word Odash does not mean Odush, a verb, I will thresh. He says it means I have to keep silent. So Ditzach, Odush, Ba'achav, he says the Ches and the Hay are interchangeable guttural letters. So it becomes like Ba'ahavo or Bechibo. So he says the pshat is the moment we have to keep silent. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes you, you don't complain. What do? You accept Mekabel Yisurim Ba'avo. So the moment when the Egyptians were punishing or being Meshabed Klal Yisrael, it was your joy should be muted with great love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But whichever way Pshat you learn, whether it's the Tosafot Yom Tov or it is the Tveres Yisrael, it's clearly Ditzach, not Ditzach, and it's clearly either Odush or Adash. It's not what we call it, Adash, and then Ba'achav, as we said before. Okay, but the Minhag HaOlam is quite clearly not to say Ditzach. We all say Ditzach, Adash, Ba'achav. Nobody's ever heard of anything different. I've never seen an Agada with any other punctuation other than Ditzach, Adash, Ba'achav. That's how it is. So it seems that the Minhag HaOlam disagrees with the Tosafot Yom Tov and the Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, and we hold it doesn't have to be a meaning in the Siman. And the Emes, the Tveres Yaakov, in But Menachos on that Tveres Yisrael brings rise some other Gemaras that the Siman does not have to have any meaning. Now if you look through Shas, we have all sorts of Simonim going through Shas, which are just the letters of the people's names. And according to Tveres Yaakov, they have no meaning. I remember one particular Siman, I'll never forget it, when we were learning Yevamos, and the differences between Bikurim and Maisa, and all that. One was Shekane Pancakes. In English it sounded like pancakes. So I'll always remember that simon because of pancakes, but heavens knows what pancakes have got to do with Bikurim and Maishas, etc. But from the Gemara it seems it's got no particular meaning. See, it doesn't have to have a meaning. However, those of you who are interested in Kabbalah might be interested in going through the Sefer Lamnatzeach LeDovid of Rab David Pardo. Rab David Pardo wrote lots and lots of Sforim, and they all end LeDovid. So his perish on the Mishnah is called Shoshanim LeDovid. His perish on the Chumash is called Maskil LeDovid. What's less known is, those Sforim are well known, but the Sefer he wrote on Simone HaShas is called Lamnatzeach LeDovid. And there he goes through every Simon and Shas and explains where he can't do it Arpi Pshat, he explains Arpi Kabbalah, what that Simon represents. So you see from him that he probably follows the opinion that Simon does have to have some meaning. So we're ending with this interesting evenly balanced argument. On the one hand, some say that Rebbe has to have meaning, and others say it doesn't have to. The truth probably is, if you can find some meaning in the middle, the symbol will be far superior, and therefore one should try, but if you can't, probably there's better things to get on with. Anyhow, so having decided what this simon is all about, what it's trying to teach us, the question then arises, why should Rabbi Yehuda need to give a simon for the makas? I can understand we need simonim for the differences between Bikurim and Maisa. That's difficult to remember. But why is it so difficult to remember 10 makas? It's not that difficult. And especially when we now sing it, Adam, Tzfadea, the children make songs out of it. It shouldn't be that difficult to remember the 10 names. So I thought I'd try and make a compendium of all the different answers. I'm not sure how many we won't be able to get through, but it's interesting. I often look for a similar min hashamayim for what's going on. And I was thinking this is actually the 20th time on which I'm actually speaking on Torah Way since it started. And I thought, well, what's the significance? And then when I came to the end of all my answers here, I found I had 20 answers to the question. So therefore, it is also a simon of a different sort. So we've got 20 different answers. Right, let's start with the answers. First, we said before a simon is given because the Gemara in Erevin gives Amoroim, who give reasons why you should have a simon from Psukim. Therefore, so to speak, it's a mitzvah to make simonim in order to remember things, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda decided he has to make a simon simply. It's because everything has to be with simonim to remember it. Ah, it's easy to remember. No, maybe it's not quite that easy to remember everything. And it's much quicker, certainly, if you need to know which is the fourth makkah, it's very much quicker to think, oh, ayin for adash, then you know immediately that ayin stands for orav, rather than have to work through the whole lot. So maybe that's why he, on a simple level. The Kerem HaTzvi gives a very interesting explanation. I have heard it elsewhere as well, but he quotes it in the name of the Saba Mislabodka. And he says that Rabbi Yehuda believed that one should never bring out from one's mouth a dirty word or an unpleasant word. Where it's possible to speak Beloshon Nekiyo, you should always choose the Loshon Nekiyo. Never use language which is inappropriate, vulgar or otherwise. I'm not talking about words which are clearly expletives or nasty, but you've got to try to choose refined language. As we know from the Gemara and Pesachim, the Torah went out of its way in one place to say a neno tahira rather than saying tsemeya in order to teach us that lesson. So he suggests that rather than talking the whole time about blood and frogs or crocodiles or whatever the Tzfadea are and all these unpleasant things, Rabbi Yehuda preferred, let's give it a simon to Takadash Bachar, whether it's got a meaning or not, we've discussed already, let's use a simon so we don't have to use a Lashon Maguna. That's the second answer. The third answer...
Then you don't remember
once you've got the simon, you know what it refers to. You know what the simon refers to. So a child would have to learn the whole thing, it's quite right, but it's much easier to remember the simon afterwards, once you've learned it. Obviously, the simon can only come once you've learned the thing itself, it goes without saying. Not much good giving a simon for the Aseres HaDibros if you don't know what the Dibros are in the first place. You're quite right, obviously. But most people know exactly what we're talking about. The next answer could be, this is a joke answer really, but it's got a truth to it as well. The same Gemara which talks about a neno tahoro, the same Gemara says that it's also very important to talk Beloshon Mekutz in a very short language. And there's a whole argument between the Rishonim that if one way is short and one way is not so pleasant, should you go with the short way which is not so pleasant, or should you go with the longer way which avoids it? So the Torah went out of its way, a neno tahoro, but most of the time the Torah does say tameo. So you see, there is an inyan of trying to be short. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda had to try and make things short, and therefore he didn't want to say the whole thing over and over. But the joke part is that, as everyone knows, Rabbi Yehuda was a chairman. He was also Rosh HaMadabrim B'chol Mokom, that's in two places. It's the Gemara in Brochus and the Gemara in Shabbos. I've got the reference on the page here. And therefore, since he was a chairman, he had to teach everybody a chairman shouldn't give 10 speeches, a chairman should be as quick, as simple as possible. And therefore, because he was a Rosh HaMadabrim B'chol Mokom, he went out of his way to be Makatza. That's the bit of a joke, but it may have a bit of point to it as well. The next answer I heard recently, actually, from Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss, who's the one of the Rosh Hashiva in Keser HaTalmud in Ramat Eshkol, set up a beautiful new little yeshiva there, and for boys who need extra tippul, and he was here on behalf of his yeshiva, and when he was there, he's obviously connected somehow with the Sotmer Brigade, and he quoted in the name of the Admiral Rabbi Yoel, the Sotmer, who known as a very, very sharp, one of the sharpest Rebbes that there ever were, and he gave the answer. He says, look, we all say, Dam Tzvadeya Kinim Orov Shrin Dever. Mr. Devershin, thank you. Just testing. Devershin, thank you. Yes, that's why you need the simon. Borod. Alva Choshech Makas Bechoyrus. That's 11. So since you shouldn't think there's 11 Makas Bechoyrus, therefore you have to say a simon to teachers of Zonia Beis. There's no mem, so it's Bechoyrus. That's a whole discussion why Bechoyrus is itself the Makas. The Makas should have been something else. The Bechoyrus were killed. But okay, that's a separate discussion which they all talk about. But Makas Bechoyrus, if you read it as in the simonim, you're going to have 11. So in order to teach us that there are only 10, Rabbi Yehuda decided to keep it to Adash Ba'achav, and then we know that the Bechoyrus is not Bacchus and Bechoyrus, it's only one. It's a sharp, clever answer. Now, however, if we go further back, we find both in the Maharam in Prague, who is plenty of machshava into this, and also there's a very interesting Agos Maimonius on the Nusach Agod in the Rambam, who give various reasons, and these reasons have all been lumped together. I've lumped them together, if you see on the sheet in front of you, because they all show a division into three of the various makas, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda wanted to do it. He could have said divided into two lots of five. Why is it Detzach Ad Ash Bachav? It could have been Detzach Ad Ad, and then it could have been Shbachav. He could have had two lots of five. Why does he have to have three, and then another four? Well, it couldn't be three, three, and three, because it wouldn't have worked. But three, three, and four is lopsided. Five and five would have been a nice simon. It could be quite, it's easy, very easy to have a five-lettered word. I just gave you a simon of pancakes before. That's five letters. So, maybe it's six, is it? Well, anyhow, however many letters it is. So, you don't have to have a three-letter simon. So why, therefore, was answered? Because Rabbi Yehuda is trying to tell us a message. You should know that these makas were divided into three chalokim. Now, what these three chalokim are different opinions. First of all, you've got the Maharal, who suggests that the first two makas were given with a hasra. The third maka has no hasra whatsoever. And that happens again each time. And the Maharal develops this theme, we haven't got time for it now, exactly why the first two had to have a warning, and the third one came without. In fact, it goes even deeper, which I haven't mentioned here. The first marker is always with a bo el paro. Unfortunately, we had laying the wrong bow this week at fair week, because you've got to be very careful when you take out Chris Atara not to get the wrong bo el paro. Because he was back in Avoera instead of lending the one from this week's Seder, because he read the wrong Bo El Paro. But Bo El Paro occurs on each occasion of the first, the fourth, and the seventh Makkah. And then Hasra without Bo El Paro. Have I got the wrong way around? Which way around is it? No, it's the second one. The first one is without the bow. The second one was with the bow, and the third one is without any warning altogether. I've got it the wrong way around. Why didn't somebody catch me out? Right. So the first time he has to come to Paro without any Asra. He gives him a Asra, I beg your pardon, but he didn't say bow El Paro. The second time he says, I give Paro a warning, but do it in his camp. Bow El Paro. Go right next to him. Yeah, I remember explaining this to kids. Once I said, look, you over there, will you stop behaving yourself, please, because otherwise you're going to get into trouble. Take no notice. The next time I come over to you, and I go right up to you, and I say, if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to give you a whack. The third time, you get a whack without any Asra. So that's how it happens. You follow? So the first time is Asra, a warning from a distance. The second one, Bog, you go right into Paro and tell him that he's going to cup it if he doesn't behave himself. And the third time, what, twice I've warned you already, that's enough. So, but we see the three separate sections. That's the Maharal. Next, we've got the next one is that the first set were given by Aaron, the second set were given by Moshe, and the third set, although it doesn't quite fit, but the Avodah explains what he means, is the third set can only have been given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. You'll see in the Torah the sound looks different. No, the third set was so serious that it came from heaven, it could only be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, we have three sets: Aaron, Moshe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then another set of explanations is one's with the matter, one's not without the matter. I've set them out here, I haven't got time to go through them each one in detail, but what you do see is that there's a three-way combination in each occasion. Another explanation also given in Agos Maimon is the third plague was the Ikkah. And that third plague is connected with the sixth and with the ninth. And really, the Kinim and the Shechin and the Choshech are the same plague, except the accentuation of the a component of the plague is more of Shechin in the second lot, it's more of Kinim in the first lot, and it's more of Choshech in the third lot. And he proves this by the famous tabulation, which I've actually shown it here, that if you read write Choshech across, you write Shechin across and Kinim across, it's the same across as it's down, to indicate that these are intertwined, these makas are really the same maka but with different accentuation, the point being that they are groups of three. And another explanation of the Maharal is that the first two makas are really hafuchim, they contradict each other, so that the dam is hot, blood is hot, the tzvadeh is cold, everybody knows an amphibian, a reptile are cold, but the kinim is a combination of hot and cold. So the first marker represents X, the second marker represents Y, but the third marker represents X plus Y, a combination. And Maral goes through and explains similarly with the second lot of makas, you find that the Orov are devastating wild beasts. The Dever hit ordinary tame animals. So one is wildness and one is tameness. So then you come together with the Shechin. The Shechin is a bit of both. It's both boils, which can be natural illness, but it can also be wild. So he tries to explain that the third Makkah is actually a combination of the two disparate factors of the previous Makkah. And that's why it all divided into three. I'm going to have to leave that to be able to finish off the rest, but I have set it out here for those who wish to plough through it. It's the three-way combination. The next explanation given by Agos Maimonides is quoted from the Rabbeinu Chananel, who suggests that there is a different order of Makkos in Tehillim. If you look at Tehillim, Ayin Ches and Kufay, the Makkos in a different order. So which is the correct order? We know Ein Muktam Miyuchad B'Torah. Maybe the Makkos didn't occur in the order that the Torah gives them. We see in Tehillim it was different. How do you know which is the correct order? So Rabbeinu Chananel, that is why Rabbi Yehuda gave Simon, you should know that the correct order is the order in which they are enumerated in the Haggadah. And that's in the Chumash. Therefore we know the credit. Why is Tehillim different? If you want to know that, look at the Malbim. Learn the Malbim on Tehillim, you'll see why there's a big difference in Tehillim. But the Ikkar order is in Chumash. Now there is a plea in the Rabbeinu Chananel, because he says when they brought their Bikurim, they used to lay them in the same order as they were in Chumash. And nobody understands where does Rabbeinu Chananel get it from, that when they brought Bikurim, you had to lay in the Makkos. In the Haggadah we lay in the Makkos. But in Bikurim, we have a posuk in the Torah, which tells us in the video what you have to say. Nobody suggests you have to actually bring... some say that just as in the Haggadah, we say the Seder, and we say the Makkos too. Rabbeinu Chananel held that you had to say that at the time of the Bikurim. If you look, however, in the Avudraham, he quotes this answer, but he doesn't quote the Bikurim part. All he says is that Rabbi Huda is telling us the way you should lay them properly in the Haggadah. This is the correct order, Dam, Tzvadeh, and don't get them mixed up like I got them mixed up before between the Shin and the Deva. Make sure you get them in the right order, and he doesn't quote Bikurim. Then, more, there's a whole series of answers based on the Gematria of the Tzachadash Ba'achav. Now, Detzach Hadash Barachav, if you work it out, is Gematria 501. So there goes, Maimonides says This is a remez a kol hamachlo asher samti b'mitzrayim lo yasim alecho. We said the Zakhadash Rechav, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't give us these markers because we know what Pasuk and Shpotim kol hamachlo asher samti, the asher works. So we see that the asher, which is 501, is the same gematria to Zakhadash Rechav. Now at this point I want to mention something I heard, not from my great-grandfather because he died in 1916, but I heard from others, and it's in the Imre Chaim, I believe, he said the following. He says a person should be very careful what he says, because you will always come, it'll always come back afterwards to catch you. You've got to be watch what you say. Because if you say something inappropriate, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will make that rebound on you later. You will all suffer from it. What happened here was this. Paro said, Mi Hashem, Asher, Eshma Bekoila. Who is this God that I should listen to? What a chutz, what a blasphemy. How could he say such a thing? Mi Hashem, Asher, how can you possibly be so chutz with this? So, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, yeah, that's what you said. Now I'm going to say your words over again. I'm going to reread your words. Mi Hashem, Asher, Eshma Bekoila. You just said, who's God? When Asher will come, I will have to listen. What do you mean when Asher will come? When 501, when the Tzach HaDash Baruch Hu will come, I'll be forced to listen to you. It's the same words, just how you rephrase them. So he was caught out of his own mouth. Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma Bekoilo. That's how he learned the gematria. There are other gematria answers which work out that if you take, you're allowed one out. So if you take the Makkos mentioned in the Haggadah of which Rabbi Yosef Gili says 50, Rabbi Eliezer says 200, Rabbi Akiva says 250, add them all together, gives you 500, and you're allowed one, so that's another reason why this Gematria Tzachadash is so important. Another one where it brings you to 502, not five. We've had 501, we've had 500, now we're going to 502, because Yaakov Avinu had said, yes, Shever b'Mitzrayim, there's hope in Egypt, I'm going to be okay in Egypt. Shever is the gematria of the Zachadash Bachav, that's going to protect us. So Yaakov ben Nevua knew that was going to happen. That's another one which is given. Another couple, one is shame, the Sefer called the Chodesh Aviv, Charon Af Vokas is 501, and similarly, you've got the Biyod Chazoko of Israel and Atuya is also 501. So all these are Ramazim based on a gematria. Whether Rabbi Yehuda would have written a remez simply because of the gematria, no, I can't answer. Maybe he did, but maybe he chose the particular one in order that you should get this gematria, because he could have said the Tzachadash Ba'acham. For Makkos Bechoros, why does he put the base? The answer is the base will give you the gematria. So it was very carefully chosen. The Chasam Sofer goes further. He says if you take the initial letters of the three groups and the final letters of the three groups, it's an anagram of Eved and Keves. Work it out. Eved and Keves. Because the Egyptians worship the Keves, the Teler. We know the whole of the Pesach story is because of the avoda of the Keves. So since they were worshipping the Keves, therefore Rabbi Yehuda made sure that the Simon had in it the Rosh HaTevis and the Sofei Tevis. Is extremely clever. Whether, again, it was done for that purpose, heavens knows. But it's certainly included in the Panimius of Chazal here. Another answer, very briefly, is that Rabbi Yehuda gave a siman because lefi shitoso, this is the shita of the Gaon, there wasn't room on the staff to get all the things that they wanted to put on. If you have a look in the Targum Yonason in Shemos Yudalet Posk Chof Aleph, you'll see there is a whole list of things which were written on the matter. And according to the Gaon, Rabbi Yehuda said they gave a siman because there wasn't room to get all the makkos on, and that's all they put. So the Tzachadash Rechav, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us, Hayinosi ben Simon, and that was what was written on the matter of Moshe. The other Midrashim seem to indicate that the whole of the word was written, the whole thing was written, but maybe the Gaon holds it, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on that point. There's another Midrash which seems to indicate that both the makkos and the siman was written, so it's not entirely clear, but that's the Gaon. Dr. Sifman, bless him, he once gave me a beautiful answer which he'd heard somewhere. He says that the Paros said three horrible things. He said, Mi Hashem Asher Shema Bekolo. He says, Gam Ani Lo Yodati. And Elo Eshlach. There were three different things which were chutzpahdik. And each one of those things came back and hit him before one of the makkos. One before the dam, one before the Orov and one before the Borod. If you look at the Pesukim, I've written them down here, we're running out of time, so I can't tell you in detail, but basically the three Pesukim were repeated as the introduction to the punishment which Paro got in each case, and Rabbi Yehuda is trying to teach us that each one is a separate thing. Just to finish off, one thing is interesting. Throughout our history, we've suffered from blood libels. It goes back a long way. It's a very, very interesting subject on its own. Why should there be blood? And secondly, why should the blood libels be connected especially to Pesach? It's always Pesach and the Paschal lamb, and we put blood in our matzahs. I didn't say we put blood in our lulav. I didn't say we put blood in our chicken soup. Why is it davka the blood in the matzah each time? The answer, the Kitzig Nimrat, is that Pesach is the time when we were saved from Egypt because of our behavior. And if we want the Geula, we've got to be misaken what went wrong. And what went wrong was basically Sinas Chinam. And therefore, if we still have Sinas Chinam, then we're going to get punishment from the Goyim, they're going to punish us. And that's also one of the reasons why Pesach always falls on the night of Tisha B'Av. And many people eat egg on Pesach as a simon for Avelis. What's an Avelis on Pesach? We don't eat it on Sukkos. Why should I have good? The answer is there's a deep connection between our misbehavior and the Alilis Dam, which was always on Pesach. Now, the story goes that in various different forms. I once heard from the Rabbeinu Yonis and Ipshitz, the Goy came up to him and said, "You Jews, you are eating Jewish blood. And I proved it from their God. You said it's Achadash Parachav. Dam Tzrichim Kulchem. Avur Dam Shechatetem. Ben Shechatetem Ben Ech Ish Ben Ish Chai Birushalayim." Something of that sort. On the spot, he said back to them, "No, you've got the mnemonic wrong. It's wrong. It should be, we say, we say the tzach is divrei tzedukim chozov alilis dam sheker." And what was the first point? B'nei Avraham chalilo bezois. Just like that. So we see you have to be very careful when you use mnemonics, you use the simon. But the point of mentioning this point about the alilis dam is, we see throughout our history that we've suffered because of the Takadash Barachav, somehow or other, we are suffering for centuries. And the tikkun would be to put that right. It's telling us the message of Pesach will only be work properly if we all get rid of the problems of the Averus, which caused the Churban and the Sinas Chinam, etc. If you want to follow that particular thing further, in the Kol HaTorah many years ago, and I think it's Kol HaTorah, I think it's Siman Yud Beis, Matisyahu Solomon has a long arichus about this particular subject, and I'm sorry I've run over time, so I'm stopping now.